thank you for being here. It's good to see you. We're turning tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians. The second letter to the Corinthians. In the 5th chapter. And verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 15. Amen. We have had a paper going around for people to help us with cleaning and some other activities around the church. I know it hadn't made the rounds, but I wonder if there's somebody that could help us. Brother Ferguson's health's just not allowing him to do what he wants to do. You ever been there? If you haven't, you will. So we need a little relief here. Can somebody come in before Sunday and do a cleaning here in the church? Got a Sister Hart. Somebody want to help her work with her here. Okay, Sister Barbie. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. God bless you. Amen. Don't we appreciate Brother Ferguson for what he's done? Amen. He's worked so hard now and done so well. Brother Ferguson, thank you so much. Thank you very much. God bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 15. And the Apostle Paul said, and I'm not sure I still got it right. Amen. Yeah. Chapter 5, verse number 17. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everybody say new. New creature. New creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Everybody say all things. All things are become new. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to talk to you tonight about life in a new dimension. Hallelujah. Life in a new dimension. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I'm talking tonight about a brand new kind of life. Hallelujah. Even people in the world today are looking at this one dimensionally. Amen. They're just seeing what is. But I'm promising you tonight, and hey, I'm staking everything I've got that the Word of God is true. I believe it tonight. With all that's in me, I believe it tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so the word of the Lord teaches us that this is just the beginning and that the better is on the other side. I believe that tonight. But Jesus came and he said, I have come that you might have life. Now, to explain that and understand that tonight, let's go back to the Old Testament and see what happened. God created man and his own image. He breathed his very breath into him. Don't you know that was an exciting moment? Old Adam was laying there just a lump of clay. And God reached down and did CPR. Amen. Breathed into his nostrils. And his old chest rose up. His heart started pumping blood through coursing through his veins. His eyeballs flashed open. He sat up with a big smile. Amen. Took a big deep breath. And man became a living soul. Hallelujah. Amen. You talk about something exciting. God created him perfectly. There wasn't anything wrong with him from his head to his toe. Everything was perfect. His heart was perfect. His blood sugar was perfect. His cholesterol was perfect. Everything about him was just right. I mean, he was a living soul. And God created Adam for eternity. He didn't create him for 70 years. He didn't create him for 100 years. He lived to be over 900 years. But he created him for eternity. God didn't make this as a temporary thing. It was God's will. It was God's plan that man should live always and forever. That was God's will. Amen. When he saw he was lonely, he made him a helpmeet. Put him to sleep. Amen. Did the first surgery. Amen. Took out a rib. And from that rib, he created Eve. Amen. Praise God. And God said that was good. And most men spend a lot of their life trying to find that missing rib. Amen. Whenever you find it, hang on to it, brother. Praise God. Don't chase another one. You got one. Stick with the one you have. Amen. And so God made him a mate that was like him. Hallelujah. That was complementary to him. And so he made his creation in perfection. And then God told Adam and Eve, he said, now you recreate. Amen. You procreate. Amen. You replenish the earth. Amen. And so sons and daughters began to be born. Amen. I've had people ask me where Cain's wife came from. Amen. I don't know, but I know her name. It was Mrs. Cain. Amen. So I know that much. There are some things the Bible just doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about. But I know exactly where they came from. They came from Adam and Eve. Amen. That's exactly where they came from. Amen. And somebody said, well, was it all right for brothers and sisters to get married? Was till God said it wasn't. Amen. Well, how does that work? Same way you're not, your government does. Your government tells you today you drive 55. Tomorrow you can drive 70. If they drop it back to 55, the time they say it and set it, then it changes everything at that point. Until that point, it wasn't wrong. But at that point, it becomes wrong because it's law. God dictates law. Amen. And there was no sin in that time. I said there was no sin in that time. Sin came when Adam and Eve disobeyed the law of God in taking the forbidden fruit. And when they did that, it changed everything. Amen. I have tried to imagine, and I think I have some inkling of an idea how to some degree, how they must have felt. Amen. Because I know what happens when I sin. Amen. I know how the peace is taken away. And the joy is taken away. And it seems a separation comes in. And a heaviness comes in. And for some reason, there's that automatic desire to try to cover things up. My cousin one time got in big trouble. He cut down his mama's flowers. And she got a hold of him. She said, Joe, did you cut those flowers down? He said, no, ma'am, I did not. She said, what did you do it with? He said, the scissors. Amen. You see, you can try to hide, but God will get to you. He already knows like she already knew. Amen. And the truth came out just with a little prodding. Soon as Adam and Eve sinned, there was this desire, this innate desire to hide. The Bible said that God came to walk with them. Brother Neil, like we're fellowshipping here tonight. God came to walk with them and talk with them. Oh, they must have looked forward to that time. What an honor it was when some presence of God. I don't know how he revealed himself in that time. I don't know if he took some visible form. I just don't know. But I do know that a recognizable presence of God came to Adam and Eve at a special time. And it was a special time of fellowship with God himself. and they walked to the cool of the garden, amen, and enjoyed the wonderful presence of God. But when it came that day, they tried to hide from the presence of God. Amen. And God asked, a perplexing question of Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? God knew, but Adam sure didn't. He had no idea where he was. Before I ate that fruit, I was one man. Now I'm another person altogether. I don't know where I am. I have no idea. He was as confused as a proverbial termite in a yo-yo. He didn't know where he was. People today find themselves in the same condition. They don't know where they are. Lostness is the condition of the human race until we are reconciled to God. Amen. And so God came to them. If you remember the story, he asked Adam, said, Adam, did you eat the fruit? And he said, well, that was that woman. It's her fault. Nobody had to teach him to pass the buck. He automatically did it. And when Eve, as soon as God talked to her, she said, well, it was the snake right here. He did it. It's his fault. He passed the buck. And poor serpent didn't have anybody to blame it on. He didn't even blame it on the devil because he was. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so as a result of that, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. And at that moment, something inside of man died. That spirituality in man died. The Bible paints the picture for us in the book of Romans in a very pictorial way. Romans chapter 1 verse 21, and I'll just read through this quickly, and it's so powerful. It said, because that when they knew God, everybody say they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Thankful. Isn't it amazing how so much ungratitude today? It bothers me that we're living better than we've ever lived. We have more than we've ever had. And there's so much ingratitude all around us. People are so grumpy and dissatisfied. We're eating better food than we ever ate. I mean, I remember whenever we had chicken one day and feathers the next. Wasn't quite that bad. But it was, I remember times were a little harder. Anybody remember some more difficult times? Amen. Praise God. We were talking about a little house the other day we passed by. But you know what? The house I grew up in, at that point in time, there were five of us living in it. And it was just a little old bitty house. I go by that thing now and I say, we all squeezed in there. And we did. And we didn't know that we were in poverty. We just thought, we was kind of glad to have it. It's pretty nice. Amen. And yet, there's so much ingratitude today. People complaining because they don't have more. Demanding that they have more. God, give us gratitude. Help us to be thankful. Amen. For all that we have today. Just be grateful for it. Amen. I still believe that really whenever we pray, we ought to be given thanks when we pray. When you bow your head at a meal, amen, there ought to be thanks for that meal. Gratitude, amen. The old farmer was in downtown Chicago and had to go to town for business and bowed his head and prayed. A bunch of young thugs watched him. When they got through, they smirked and said, old man, does everybody do that where you come from? He said, nope, pigs don't. Amen. Praise God. But I want to be thankful for what the Lord has done for me. Amen. It said because they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Boy, I can see a picture of that right now. We got some foolish people right now, folks. Amen. You know, we got a guy right now, he's advising our president. He thinks that animals ought to have lawyers so they can sue us. I'm serious. He believes that. Another man thinks he ought to put stuff in the water just so they can sterilize people so we won't have any more kids. Foolish. Foolish. Amen. So, and I won't even get into all that, but just to let you know that when people forget God, they think they're wise, but they're foolish. They become fools in their thinking when you forget God. And it says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Have you ever seen an idol that somebody made? You know what it looks like? It looks like something that God made. It looks like a bird or a beast or a man. You know why? Because that's all we know. We know nothing besides what God created because we are not creators. We can't create anything but confusion. And so God made everything, and all man could do was copy what God had made. And the foolishness of making a God with your hands, that you're the creator of that God, and then worship that thing that you created and say, this is my God. How warped is that? How confusing is that? But that's what they did. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves their recompense of their error, which was meet. Does that sound like God approves of homosexuality? That's what I was thinking, but I just wanted to see if maybe I was off track. I think he's still again it. Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Can you see a parallel here, folks? Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, what in the world's a reprobate mind? It's simply a mind that cannot discern what's right and wrong. A mind that sees wrong as right and right as wrong. That's a reprobate mind. And God said, the Bible says God gave people over to that kind of a condition because they did not want to retain Him in their knowledge. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They not only like to sin, but they like to watch other people sin. Pretty heavy, isn't it? I just want you to see the picture of what happened after Adam and Eve fell. This is it's what the world fell into. And the tragedy Is it still in that condition today? As I read these verses, to me it's almost like reading a newspaper. I can see exactly what's going on here all around me today. Amen. You read your newspaper and all of these things we're talking about, you'll find them there. Amen. On a local level, state, national, international. It's a problem everywhere we go. And the only way that it's ever going to change is if people can be born again. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what man became. Praise God. But let me tell you something tonight. Jesus said it so plainly. He said, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but that through me the world might be saved. Amen. He said, I am come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. He came so that we could get out of the condition of lostness and dead and find life and joy and peace and righteousness in Him. Hallelujah. Anybody found that tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I came down to an altar, I was a dead man. Amen. I was dead in sin. I was dead in trespasses. Amen. But the Bible said He quickened us. He made us alive. Hey, when you get the Holy Ghost, it puts life in you. Amen. It puts something in you that died in Adam and died in Eve. But when you get the Holy Ghost, God makes you a new creature and a new creation and gives you a brand new beginning. And you get to start all over again. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us tonight, folks. Anybody thankful for the Holy Ghost? Why don't you lift your hands and praise the Lord right now and thank Him because He saved you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 When you get the Holy Ghost, you get a new mind. I said you get a new mind. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that also was in Christ. Amen. He also said, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. You get a new mind tonight. And it thinks differently than the old mind thought. Now, you still have the old mind. And you can still think with the old mind. But I don't advise it. Amen. You get a new mind, you need to think new thoughts. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to do away with the old thoughts. Amen. You need to crucify the old man. Praise God. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Amen. He said, I mortify. That means I put to death my members. Amen. I have to crucify some thoughts every day. Amen. You get some old negative thoughts. You get some old lustful thoughts. You get some old sinful thoughts. The Bible calls them fiery darts. You don't ask for them. But you know what? When we say this again, the only power the devil has over humanity is a thought. People say, well, the devil made me do it. He cannot. All he can do is give you a thought. Isn't that what he did to Adam and Eve? All he did to Eve was put a thought in her head. Hath God not said that you can eat of every tree in the garden? Well, every tree but one. Well, see how unfair God is. If God really loved you, you could eat of all the trees in the garden. See? Just a thought. Just a thought. He said, because in the day you eat that fruit, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Doesn't that sound wonderful? All he did was plant a thought. And that's all he can do to us. So you see, that's why we have to renew our mind. Amen. And you have a new mind today. You can think differently. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to know what right and wrong is. You might not have known before you got the Holy Ghost, but you'll know after you get it. I promise you that. Amen. Whenever you, some of the things you used to do, you try it again and you'll feel so condemned and guilty. You think, why do I feel so bad? Because that's wrong. Amen. And you, what do? You repent and you just don't do it again. Amen. So you get a new mind when you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you get a new nature when you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. You get a brand new nature when you get the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 4:24, and you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. You get a brand new human being, a brand new nature when you get the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls it, Peter said, it's the divine nature. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says we are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You get a new nature when you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've used this illustration, pardon me, but let me use it again. It tells the story, I think, so well. Amen. It's the difference in a lamb and a pig. I'm not calling anybody names here tonight. Please don't take that inference. But when a lamb gets in the mud and the slop and the filth, he's uncomfortable and he cries for help. He wants out of that. When the pig gets in it, he's in his environment. I love it. Amen. He's in hog heaven. He dives in snout first because he said, this is my nature. Get him out. Scrub him. Baptize him in cologne and tie pretty ribbons on his ear and put diamond necklace around his neck. Whatever you want to do to him. Paint his toenails. Get some stuff put on his lips and on his eyelids. Doesn't make any difference. When he gets out, he's headed straight back for the mire and straight back for the mud and straight back for the slop because that's his nature. The only way you change the nature is to change the creature. You got to give him a new nature. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. Hallelujah. You get a new nature. Hey, you might have been deep in sin before he found you. But after he filled you with the Holy Ghost, you don't want to live there anymore. You want to say, this is not for me. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. None of this world shall turn me around. Amen. Praise God. Something happens. God gives you a new nature. Hear me. It's not just what the preacher said. It's not just what the church teaches. But it's an innate nature inside of you that wants to live righteously and godly in this present world. Can I get a testimony tonight? Anybody believe what I'm saying to you? Anybody have a new nature tonight? I'm talking about living in a new dimension. Hallelujah! You don't have to be bound by your sins anymore. The Bible said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from out of their sins. Amen. He came to deliver us, folks. Amen. When you get this new nature, you'll get a new tongue. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll get a new tongue. The Bible said in Mark, they shall speak with new tongues. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to be speaking in a language that you never spoke before. And it's not going to come from your head. It's going to come from His Spirit that is in your heart. Amen. You will not recognize the words. They'll not mean anything to you. You will not know what you're saying, but it's going to be a new tongue. You didn't learn it in a school anywhere. God gave it to you. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've heard people say, well, you know, the Bible says where there be tongues, they shall cease. Well, we're still talking, aren't we? I hear a whole bunch of talking everywhere I go. Tongues have not ceased. Amen. The same verse that talks about tongues ceasing says knowledge shall cease. Have we quit learning? Don't think so. We're coming up with new inventions every day, new ways to do things every day. Knowledge is increasing every day. Amen. So tongues ought to be increasing every day. Tongues have not ceased. Knowledge has not ceased. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to tell you when the tongues are going to cease and the knowledge is going to cease. When we see Him. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll know everything we'll ever need to know. Because we shall be like Him. And we shall be as He is. New tongues. Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get a new tongue. I know that talking about talking in tongues, but it also means you clean up your old one. Amen. You'll watch your language. Amen. You won't say the same stuff you used to say. Amen. Am I telling anybody the truth here tonight? Amen. Praise God. You'll not want to say the things you used to say. You'll want to be more careful with your speech. I'm not just talking about cussing. I'm talking about gossip. Oh, is that a sin? Yeah. It's called character assassination. It's murder with the tongue. Amen. And people have been hurt worse with words than they have with swords and weapons. Amen. So you learn to control your tongue. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said the hardest thing to control is this little red devil behind the pearly white gates. Amen. You get him under control, you're in good shape. But you'll work a lifetime getting it done. Amen. The same that offendeth not in word, the same is a perfect man. Amen. Hey, God made a new covenant with us. The Old Testament was the law. The New Testament's grace. Amen. The word covenant means will. There's the old will of God, and there's the new will of God. You and I are living in the new will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Hart mentioned the other night, did anybody bring your calf to church with you? Or your lamb, your turtle dove, your wave offering, your heave offering? Amen. Bringing that with you tonight? No, because that was the old covenant. That was the old will of God. Amen. Now the Bible said we offer Him the calves of our lips, which is our praise to Him, our worship to Him. The Bible said now we offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Amen. So you see, now we have a new covenant today. Woo! Hallelujah. It's not just on the Sabbath day, but it's every day. Amen. We walk with Him every day. Every day's worship. Every day's praise. Every day's prayer. Every day's sacrifice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He gave us a new song. Hallelujah. Amen. He gave us a new song. I like to make up songs. It's a good thing. I don't make them up usually when people are around, so you don't have to worry. Amen. But I just make them up. My wife says I make them up when I sing with her. Because I always sing with my eyes closed. If I get lost, I just make something up. But it's different than what she's singing, but people think I'm so spiritual, she must be the one that's lost. No, she knows the words. I just make them up as I go along. But they usually sound pretty good most of the time. Amen. I can convince folks that sometimes I change words just because I like mine better. Amen. Praise the Lord. But He gave us a new song. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we get to heaven, we're going to get another new song. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said that He gave us a new name. When I was born, my mom named me Johnny Darrell Grissom. I was too little to do anything about it. That moniker has been with me my whole life. And it'll be with me till the day I die, I suppose, because I don't plan to change it. Kind of gotten used to it now. Amen. But you see, that was the name my mom and daddy gave me. Amen. But I got a new name. When I was 12 years old at the United Pentecostal Church in Midland, Texas, on Keith Street, there was a preacher by the name of Merle McDaniel. And he took a little 12-year-old boy named Johnny Darrell Grissom, and he gave him a new name. He said, "I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Amen. And he dunked me under that water. And when I came up, I had a brand new name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, Grissom made me a member of the Grissom family. And Jesus made me a member of the Jesus family. Hallelujah. That's the name that's named in heaven and earth. That's the name before which all creation's going to bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. He gave me a new name. Amen. Praise God. And guess what? I got a new home. He's still working on it. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Amen. Didn't take him long to make this old world, did it? But he's been working on my house for 2,000 years. Woo! What a place that's going to be. Amen. New Jerusalem. The Bible said it's going to be about 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles thick or in breadth. My, what a place that's going to be. Woo! Going to have streets of gold. Amen. Going to have gates of pearl. All kinds of beautiful foundations. Going to be laid every kind of precious stone. Going to be a crystal sea for Brother James to fish in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a place that's going to be. Amen. My, what a city he's prepared for us. You know what? I think we ought to still get excited about heaven. I don't think we ought to let this old world and its pessimism get us down. I think we still ought to shout and rejoice because heaven is going to be better than this. Amen. When things get kind of tough down here, just get you, lift up your eyes and look towards your heavenly home. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When times get tough, people think a lot more about heaven than they do when times are good. Amen. When they were hoeing out in those old cotton fields, they used to sing songs like, "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." You know why they sing that? Because they had a hope that was beyond this world. Amen. There's a place where the sun's not going to beat down on me. Hallelujah. There's a place where I'm not going to labor till my muscles are weary. Amen. There's a place I'm going to be. Amen. Where it's going to be peace forevermore. Amen. Praise God. So you see, we need to remember there's a heaven, folks. Don't you forget it. When you know that, it gives you hope when things almost seem hopeless. You know why people commit suicide? Because they have no hope. You hear me tonight. You always have hope. If you have Jesus Christ, you always, always, always have hope. Things will never get so bad. I remember reading in this book, it said he would not put more upon us than we can bear. There was a lady that was having a hard time with her husband. He was unsaved, and he was giving her a terrible time. She came to the pastor and she said, "Pastor, I cannot take it anymore." And the pastor said, "Don't leave your telephone today. Stay right beside it." She said, "Am I going to get a call?" He said, "Yes. If you can't handle it anymore, your husband's going to die." She said, "Well, I didn't mean that." He said, "Well, if you can't handle it anymore, he's going to take either him or you." Amen. Hello? He meant that. It's not going to get so bad you can't handle it. It's not. Amen. The Bible said his grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. Grace is going to be greater than the problem that you face and the trouble that you go through. Amen. Now let me just qualify that by saying it may not always be like it is right now. Amen. Praise God. But the heart, things get a little harder than this. And we're griping now. Some of us are complaining now. Some of us are complaining with food in the cupboard and food in the refrigerator and clothes in the closet, air conditioning and heating in the wintertime. Amen. We're still complaining. What got real quiet here? And I know that didn't affect anybody here. I just preach it. I'm like the little boy asking his daddy. He said, "Daddy," he said, "that story you told, was that true or were you just preaching?" Amen. "Well, I'm just preaching, but it's the truth anyway." Amen. Praise God. Amen. But when you got the Holy Ghost, friend, and you got your eyes on Jesus and your mind on heaven and your mind's made up, amen, come what may, good, bad, indifferent, or ugly, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it through somehow. Amen. Amen. God promised that he'd get us through this, and I believe that he will. Amen. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." You know why I'm not too worried about global warming? You know why I'm not too worried about pollution? Because I'm not going to live here much longer. And he's going to make it all new. You know why people are real worried about global warming and global whatever it is, or climate change or whatever else? Because they don't think God can handle it. They think we've got to. Amen. Let me tell you something. If God can't handle it, we're all in trouble. But you know what? We hadn't done anything to it. At this point, now we can keep messing with it till we do mess it up. We can keep shooting stuff up there and trying to change things till we do mess it up. Until we get it so out of kilter that we will pay a price. But right now, God's got it all in control. But Brother Hart, I read in this book that this is all going to pass away with a fervent heat. Amen. There's going to be new heavens and a new earth because the former heaven and the former earth is passed away. Amen. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." And there's going to be new creatures over there. You know why everybody's not going to get to go to heaven? Because if they did, heaven would be just like this. And I don't know what you think, but I don't think this is heaven right now. It ain't heaven to me. Amen. But if like people think, everybody gets to go to heaven. Well, if they did, we might as well stay here. Amen. Wouldn't be any different. Praise God. But when we get up there, it's going to be the new creatures with a new nature and a new tongue and a new mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to be the redeemed. It's going to be those that have, the Bible said in the book of Psalm 24, those that have clean hands and pure hearts. Clean hands and pure hearts. Amen. That's what's going to make it through the pearly gate. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for a new nature. Thank God that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. Amen. And thank God for a new nature. Thank God for a new life. Thank God that I can live in a new dimension tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. One of the things, after I finally learned how to use it a little bit, that I like about the computer, one of my favorite things about the computer is the delete button. Now, I say that because you should have seen my typing before I got a computer. Now, I can type a document that looks as good as anybody. But before I got the computer, every few words, I was blotting something out. My fat fingers just don't cooperate well with the keyboard. And I'd type a little bit, and I'd erase a little bit. And then it'd get so ugly, I'd rip it out of there and just start all over. And the next one would look just about as bad as the first. It just was not my talent. But now on the computer, I make a mistake and I can just hit that little back button. It's gone. Amen. And when I get through, I can proofread it. If I don't like the way it looks, I can change this and put it up there and put that down here. And I can make it look nice. Amen. And I like that. Amen. I remember when I was in school, sometimes I've always been a little messy with that kind of stuff. And I just never was good at art and all that kind of thing. It's not what I do. And so I would, I'd mess it up, get it kind of smudged, and my pencil, trying to erase it. And, those little black marks that's on the paper and little holes in it where I got a little too rough. And I'd take it up to the teacher and I'd say, "Can I have another one? I want to start all over again. I made a mess out of this." Amen. And there's times I have to come back to Jesus and do the same thing. I said, "Lord, could I just start all over today? I sure made a mess out of this one." Amen. And he just reached over and gets the blotter. And he blots it all out. And he says, "All right, you got a clean slate. Start all over today." I said, "You got a clean slate. Start all over, beginning right now." So tonight, if you've made some mistakes and you've messed some things up real bad and you don't feel good about the way things are going, why don't you give him a chance today? Just come down and give him an opportunity to blot it out and start over. And start over. Amen. He'll let you do that. What an offer. What an opportunity. What a privilege. What a promise. What a provision. Amen. Why don't we just come today and bring our life to the Lord? Amen. And say, "Lord, I've kind of messed up here. I'm sorry. Maybe I've messed up the same way a whole bunch of times. Amen. But I want you to give me one more chance. I want to start over again." Amen. Brother Jeremy Hart preached to us at the youth lock-in. He said he's not a God of the second chance, but he's a God of another chance. There's a lot of difference. It's not second, but it's third and fourth and fifth and 70th and 100th. And he's a God of a lot of chances. Why don't you come tonight? Let's gather around this altar here. Just bring it to the Lord. Amen. I believe there's some folks here tonight that you're willing to do better if you just get another chance. Why don't you bring it to the Lord right now? Let him have an opportunity to do something rich, wonderful in your life. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Just give it to the Lord. Amen. It's not the wise counsel of men, but just give it to Jesus tonight. Oh, yes, Lord. David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, Lord. blot out my transgressions. Wash me, and I'll be clean. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. All of my confusion, He understood.